A lot of people will be out this weekend. There's a lot going on. The Gay Pride Parade is Saturday evening, starting at 6 o'clock. We'll have the parade route for you coming up. That is a jovial event. Don't be upset if it's happening, because as I say, it's not coming to your neighborhood. If you want to go see it, go see it. And don't be mad at people who want to go see that. I mean, this is America. Why do you want to infringe on people's freedoms? People have a right to be free and do stuff. Also, there is going to be a protest in the Basic Maroney area and also in Covington on the North Shore. It's the No Kings protest against President Trump's actions that many interpret as the actions of a king-like dictator. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. I think the protests here are going to be just fine. The only problem with the protest here might be the rain. And I saw a 70% chance of rain tomorrow earlier. You know, this time of year, that can always fluctuate. U.S. officials are concerned about a potential Tiananmen Square moment during the president's military parade. I call it his parade because this has been orchestrated in such a way that it celebrates the Army's 250th birthday. But make no mistake about it, this is his parade. And he wanted to do this in his first term, and it didn't work out. It's happening in his second term. It's going to cost at least $45 million, plus millions in street repairs to fix the streets after the tanks go through. There's going to be damage to the streets because of the tanks. They didn't have to have tanks, but President Trump insisted that they're tanks. I don't know why he has this fascination with tanks, but apparently he does. But considering that it's going to damage the streets, it just doesn't seem like that's a very good idea. Do you remember the Tiananmen Square incident? There was a protest in Tiananmen Square in Beijing. It's in Beijing, I think. And this was a moment when students were protesting the communist government of China. And as the tanks were rolling, there was a student, and I don't remember all of the details. If you want to fill in the details, you certainly can. I don't remember all the details, but there were students that were standing in front of the tanks, and there's one picture that became just this iconic picture that represented that whole situation of a student standing in front of a tank, not moving, not budging. The world was watching. Should China roll over the student? They didn't roll over the student. I don't remember exactly how that was resolved. Do you remember, Ian, how that was resolved? Did they carry the student off? Did they finally get the student off of there? I mean, you know, we're talking about a communist form of government. They don't have a, you know, constitution like we do. They can pretty much do what they want.
I don't think we know a lot about what happened to that guy.
I don't remember.
Real quick, 1989. Most people. All right. Well, more research is needed. But
what happens if a student or a protester just stands in front of one of the tanks if they get to that point? I don't think they would be able to get to that point. I'm sure there are going to be barricades along the parade route. So I don't think this is going to happen. I do agree that if people want to protest, they have a right to protest, but it has to be a peaceful protest. Some would argue that standing in front of a tank would be peaceful, but you could argue that that's not really peaceful because it is impeding on the action of the parade taking place. So, I understand that argument. We don't need to get into that. But President Trump has said that there will be a heavy reaction to any protest. But I hope he understands that peaceful protests are allowed by the First Amendment of the Constitution. I know sometimes he doesn't seem to care about the Constitution. It's all about him. And this is another thing that makes him seem somewhat like a dictator.
Tank Man is Wang Weilin. He was 19 years old at the time. He was basically disappeared. There's some conflicting reports about whether or not he was executed 14 days after the Tiananmen Square massacre or several months after the massacre. Another theory is that he escaped to Taiwan and got a job as an archaeologist. But we don't know.
We'll
never know.
My money would be on execution.
I'm sure the PLA did not cotton that kind of thing. They're not going to let him go to Taiwan. Forget it.
Let him go to Taiwan and, you know, scope out chicks. I don't think that's going to happen.
Where'd that come from?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you can go to Taiwan. They've got some nice-looking women in Taiwan, don't they? Don't they have nice-looking women in Taiwan?
I mean, they got nice-looking women just about everywhere.
Well, they do. Except Rustin. You know, go to Taiwan. And, you know, if you live in China, going to Taiwan's a vacation, I would think.
Sorry, Rustin. I didn't mean it. Yeah. Tiananmen Square is actually, it's the first thing I remember watching on TV as a young man.
Really?
A very, very young man. What was that, 89? Yeah, I would have been just about... Five and a half years old. Yeah. I remember standing around the TV with my parents watching that.
Isn't it amazing? It's amazing how we remember things when we were really young. And I wasn't that young at the time. I think I was about maybe, I don't know, 14, 15, 13, somewhere in that area. But there was the summer that my friends were all out playing, and I was glued to the television. I mean, my dad was at work. My mom was doing stuff around the house. I was glued to the television alone in the den watching the Watergate hearings. I mean, I was absolutely fascinated with this. So it was a big, I was a political dork from years and years ago. So, look, I think there's going to be barricades up, and there's not going to be a Tiananmen Square a type moment, but I'm sure they're preparing for that. And I believe that things are going to be very peaceful here. And I expect things to be very peaceful for the Gay Pride Parade. That's just it's a fun time. If you want to go down and see it, you're going to see outrageous things. You're going to see people being very gay. And I mean happy. I don't mean like in the act of being gay. They're just going to be gay people, happy people. And there will be sights to see. You will see butt cheeks, and you will see bare legs, and you will see, a lot of makeup. In fact, this is a case where, you know, I mean, if it rains, there's going to be a lot of makeup running, and that might be with some of the women, too. But there'll be a lot of guys wearing makeup. But see, once again, let's remember how the news works. The news focuses on the outrageous, because when you're sitting at home watching the news, you don't care to see things that are normal. You want to see outrageous things. And if they showed you all of the people who are gay, who look straight, who are part of the Gay Pride Parade, or who are on the sidelines watching, if they showed that on the news, you would be bored to death. But if they show you these wild drag queens who are like dressed up and they're flamboyant and they're wearing a glittered jock strap and they're walking down the street, you're going to watch. So remember that what you see in terms of news coverage does not represent the entire Gay Pride Parade.
You know, you said at the beginning of the show, hey, don't worry about it. It's not coming to your neighborhood. It's not coming in front. It's going right in front of my house.
Well, that's right.
My place in the French Quarter is right on the parade route. Now, I don't live there anymore. I've moved out of my French Quarter bachelor pad. I'm moving on with that period of my life, but I'm in there until July 1st. So, you know, technically, they are coming to my neighborhood.
Okay, but you choose to live in the French Quarter, and if you choose to live in the French Quarter, there's certain things that go along with living in that neighborhood. If you want a nice, quiet, serene surrounding, then you know where to live. If you want to be in the midst of things, you live in the French Quarter.
Yeah, it's right there. It's in my lease. You know, hey, you're responsible for the water bill. Make sure you change out the air filter every 3 months. You might see some butt cheeks and glittery jock straps.
It's understood.
In the first week of June, you know, sign here.
It's understood. It's understood that there are going to be things that happen in the quarter that are not going to happen in Harahan.
Oh, happy Pride.
Or Metairie or somewhere else. So anyway, yeah, let me give you the quick route here. The Gay Pride Parade lines up at 5 o'clock. They might start drinking then. Well, they might have been drinking all afternoon. The parade starts at 6 o'clock, starts on St. Philip Street, 1200 St. Philip Street, loops around the French Quarter, and ends Rampart and Domain. And just follow the crowd, and you will find the Gay Pride Parade. It's not like they can kind of sneak that through the quarter without anybody seeing it. All right. You want to do a couple of quick texts?
Sure.
All right.
Here's a text message that says, why protest at the 200th birthday to a branch of the military that protects us and helps us be able to live in this country? Riddle me that. The people who want to protest at events like that are in no way, shape, or form looking for peace.
Well, that's not true. I mean, you can't speak for all those people. That's simply not true. And they're not protesting the army. They're protesting the president who decided to have this parade. It's going to be really interesting to see how much. Maybe it's very minimal, but But it's going to be interesting to see how much those tanks tear up the streets of D.C. I mean, if they rolled down the streets of New Orleans, we wouldn't even know that they tore up the streets because they're already kind of
There's a pothole here. Who's responsible for this pothole?
Well, a tank didn't do that.
To the texter's point, it's not the 200th birthday. It's the 250th birthday. Yeah. Don't mean to be picky-unish, but...
But sometimes we get picky.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like... you have to really try not to understand here. In order to send in a text like that, why are they protesting the 250th birthday of the Army? Like, why do you insist on that's willful ignorance?
Okay.
That's you insisting that's you pretending to not know what's going on so that your opinion is more in line with your perception of reality.
So why are you going to a Trump rally? I mean, you know there are going to be people there that are going to get wild. You know you're going to hear lies. You know you're going to hear false, misleading rhetoric. So why are you even going? Why do people even go to a Trump rally? I mean, the same argument could be made.
Here's a text that says, oh, yeah, Scoot, nobody ever jumps the barricades at a parade.
Well, look, I just said I think there's going to be pretty high security. I do. In D.C. for this parade, I think there's pretty high security. I didn't say it wouldn't happen. I said I don't think it's that likely to happen, but I brought it up because I thought it could happen. So I understand that people can jump the parade barricades.
A number of people are kind of not agreeing with your remembrance of what happened between Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston. Here's a text. This one's the most polite, really. Bobby Brown has faults like all of us, but if you look at any of the documentaries pertaining to Whitney Houston, her drug use preceded her marriage. He didn't help, but he did not introduce her to that life. At the end of the day, he's still here, and he's living a clean life. And those who stayed closest to her, her daughter and her husband, are gone.
Okay, you know, that's a legitimate point. And I don't claim to be an expert in that area, but that was, you know, that's what the public saw. So if you want to enlighten me on something inside, I did not see the documentaries, you can do that. But the general public in America saw Whitney Houston go from this point to this point after she met Bobby Brown. We did not know that her drug use preceded the introduction to Bobby Brown, but, you know, maybe her drug use actually attracted her to Bobby Brown. So, look, as I said, she was responsible, but it just seems like her life with him exacerbated her problem, and that's a really good point. Bobby Brown is here, and she's not, and her daughter's not, and that's really sad.
I'm going to give you two more quick ones about parades, protests. Here's one that says, nobody has an issue with the gay parades in New Orleans. They've been going on for generations. Why try and create a premise that doesn't exist?
Listen, I sit here every year, and there have been complaints. There are people who complain about gay pride parades happening. There are people who complain about that. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm reflecting a reality. Now, you might not hear it in your world, but if you listen to this show, you will sometimes hear somebody call up and just complain about gays. They're less likely to do it now than when I took over this show. In the beginning of this show, there was a lot more bitching and complaining than there is now. And I think people have come to realize that, okay, this is what we stand for. This is what we believe. And you better be prepared to have a good argument. People who criticize gay pride parades no longer have a good argument on this show. They might call other shows and complain, but they don't deal with this show anymore because they know we're going to make them look foolish. Because there is no legitimate argument against a gay pride parade. So please understand that I'm only working based on my experience of dealing with the general population, and there are a lot of people out there that don't want that to happen. That's all.
I guess we can have an argument about how welcome the pride parade is in New Orleans, in French Quarter, in one of the most kind of like overtly queer-friendly neighborhoods on the continent. But it is absolutely the case that in other small towns and small cities across the country, holding a pride parade is not at all a guarantee of your safety or security. You may remember a couple of years ago in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. That was a pride event that the Patriot Front, the guys show up in their khakis and their masks and their YouTube. What am I talking about? Khakis and masks. Oh, and they were in a U-Haul truck. That's right. They showed up in a U-Haul truck. I mean, if the law enforcement had not been on top of that, that might have really descended into a serious incident. A lot of those guys were indicted for conspiracy to incite a riot. Pride events across the country are at risk to some degree. Maybe we can talk about whether or not that's the case in the French Quarter, but it is not at all accurate to say that nobody cares about this. Nobody's bothered by this. Lots and lots and lots of people are bothered by pride flags, pride parades, pride events, pride books, whatever it is. People are willing to really go to the mattresses to keep that stuff away from their communities and away from their families. And occasionally they do resort to violence. It's not controversial to say that.
The sad thing is that people feel like if their children are exposed to seeing gay people, they're going to become gay. Saying that just demonstrates how insanely ridiculous that is. Man, I've driven through Coeur d'Alene. It is a beautiful part of the country. It is the panhandle. It is the tip of Idaho, just crossing over from Idaho. I mean, you know, I think it's Montana, briefly Idaho, and you're into Washington State. Yep. It is an absolutely beautiful part of the country, but there are a lot of white supremacists up there, and there are a lot of white supremacists in Idaho and in Washington State and in Oregon. And what they do is they think in that part of the country, they're hiding out. You know, they're tucked away in the misty wilderness of the tall evergreens, and they hide up there, and they've got their little secret meetings and everything. That is a really scary part of the country in a lot of ways. All right, we got to get to a break here. If you want to join us, it's a Free for All Friday. The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Tomorrow is the parade. Tomorrow is also, well, the protest and the military parade, and tomorrow is also Flag Day. A flag that represents all of Americans. All right, I'm Scoot. Glad you were with us on this Friday afternoon. We're coming right back on WWL. I'm sure some float, somebody marching in the Gay Pride Parade, is going to be playing some Cher. Maybe Bette Midler, Dolly Parton. These are all very prominent women in terms of popularity with the gay community. I'm Scoot on the air. All right, look, I'm looking forward to LSU tomorrow. And remember, you can hear it all here on WWL. The broadcasters of the Cubs baseball game fell silent after a player displayed lewd celebratory action on live television. It was a broadcast of the Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates game yesterday. The broadcasters went totally dead silent when a Cubs veteran, it says they're fake. I mean, it says it and they are fake, but it looks real to me. Ian, would you Google this?
Huh? What is it?
Would you Google this and take a look at this?
What? Google what?
All right. Google Cubs broadcasters go silent after players lose celebration.
Yeah.
It was fake.
Yeah, they're fake.
They're fake. It looks real to me.
Well, I mean, that's the whole idea.
Well, I haven't seen that many, but it looks real. I mean, he's got it. He took it out.
Yeah, it's fake.
Okay. Well, what's it attached to? It's just there.
It's a belt or something? I don't know.
Okay. But it's fake. Well, you know it's fake.
Yeah.
I haven't seen enough of them, you know.
Yeah, it says in
the
article.
To be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got mine, but I haven't seen enough, you know, in general. But anyway, it was kind of funny. But they fell totally silent. They couldn't even talk. Because it looked real, but apparently it was fake. Hey, before we get to calls and text, let me share with you some new numbers. This is one of the reasons why President Donald Trump wants to have this parade. This is one of the reasons why he wants to do things that he thinks make him look good. The new Quinnipiac poll is out. Quinnipiac University is known for very accurate polling. On the subject of Donald Trump and immigration, 43% of Americans approve, 54% disapprove. Now, this is one of his big areas, how he's going to handle immigration, how he's going to handle deportations. He ran on this, and this was one of the areas that was really important to him, and people voted for him because of the immigration issue and the deportation issue. Well, right now in his presidency, when it comes to immigration, 43% approve, 54% disapprove. When it comes to deportations, 40% approve, 56% of Americans disapprove. This is Democrats and Republicans. Another thing the president campaigned on was improving the economy. And we know that there's already inflation, especially at the grocery store. And if this conflict between Israel and Iran continues, oil prices are going to go up and the stock market is going to go down. And oil prices going up is going to possibly add to inflation. On the economy, 40% of Americans approve with President Trump, 56% disapprove. When it comes to trade, and remember the big deal he made about tariffs, I'm going to make this even. I'm going to make this right. 38% approve, 57% disapprove. I'm going to end the Ukraine war with Russia. I'm going to end that. Day one, I knew that wasn't going to happen. Some people might have thought he was going to end it day one. I knew that wasn't going to happen. It's as ripe as it ever has been. And according to this Quinnipiac poll concerning Trump handling the Russian-Ukraine war, 34% approve, 57% disapprove. So this is why, President Trump wants to look good. And it's interesting that he picked a fight with California Governor Gavin Newsom, who has had an opportunity. Now, sometimes he hasn't said the right things, but sometimes he has. And he is giving Gavin Newsom the political spotlight right now when the Democrats are looking for leaders who are going to become the prime candidates for 2028. So again, we don't know how all this is going to play out yet, but this is the early signs of what may be happening. It's a free-for-all Friday, and if you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Also, we've got to talk some about Father's Day. And if you want to share with us what your dad taught you, and if you're a dad, what you hope to teach your children, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Can you think of something that you think about to this day that was lasting, that your dad taught you? And what do you want to teach your kids? We're going to talk a little bit about that, too. All right, Janice in New Orleans, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yeah, that's something my dad does. There's two things I want to tell you. My dad, yeah, he taught me something. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget. I don't know what I said. I don't know how old I was. But I said something to him. I must have wanted something. And he explained to me that companies are constantly making new things. They have to. They're making new items because they have to make money. And he said something to me that was so true. You can't have it all. And that's right. Every time something new comes out, you just can't have it.
That's a great message, because I think that there are people who believe that they're entitled to have it all. And when they can't have it all, they feel like the system cheated them. And it's, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, I'm trying to quote the Rolling Stones here.
Might get what you need.
Yeah. Yada, yada.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But this is something else I found, too. You can get something new, but sometimes the new thing is better than the older thing, but sometimes the older item was better than the newer thing, and I found that. Now, here's something else I wanted to tell you. Someone sent me something in Facebook, and I'm trying to read it. I get my head wrapped around it. It's about Antifa and everything. So I go on Google, and I'm searching it. I wanted to search it to see what I could find elsewhere and everything. And I found an article here, and it says, and who's to say what's going to happen? I hope and pray to God. We all need to pray that things will be peaceful tomorrow. But it says, Soros-backed, no King's rallies, threaten America's cities with planned chaos. And it could. Who's to say? I don't know. I hope things will be good here, because it's New Orleans.
But just because, that's a typical thing to say. So I think it's more likely
knows?
That.
It could I think be,
it's,
though.
I think
it
it's
could,
more
there
likely.
Could be chaos in the country.
Let me say something, please.
Yes.
I think it's more likely that it's false, that it is true.
Well, I hope that nothing bad happens. No. I don't know. It just depends on how many crazy people are out there in the street, Scoot.
Well, it does.
I think the Pride Parade will be better. If I had my choice of what I wanted to go to, I'd go to the Pride Parade.
You just want to see those cheeks.
Yeah, it's just something else.
All right, Janice.
Are you going to go tomorrow to the Pride Parade?
You know, there's the Pride Parade. There's a pro. Well, you know, I could go to the protest and the Pride Parade. A lot of it depends on the weather.
What I'm going to tell you is this:
I'm going to try to. I'm going to try to make it out.
Please don't say I'm your mother, but please be careful as you do get out there around that protest.
I don't want to get. I don't want to be glittered against my will.
Yeah, well, I don't want nothing bad to happen to my Scooty.
I'll be fine.
I really don't.
I appreciate
you
that,
gotta
Janice.
You got to stay safe. I can't go out there and protect you, so you just got to be careful.
All right.
You know?
I'll be careful. Thank you, Janice. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to your calls coming up.
I can't believe that Fox News would write an opinion piece trying to get people to be scared of these protests on Saturday. I can't. I'm glad I'm sitting down already, because I would be off my feet if you just told me that out of the blue.
You know, if people get an ingrown toenail, they blame it on George Soros. I mean, it's so. Look, George Soros may fund a lot of liberal issues. I don't really know the history of George Soros, other than that he supports, you know, liberal causes. But there are a lot of rich people who support conservative causes. I mean, what's the difference? The only difference is, you know, George Soros's name, because, you know, the other media is not so quick to find the villain, is not so quick to name the villain. But there are evil villains out there on the right, and they're funding things from the standpoint of the right. But, you know, the idea that George Soros is going to fund chaos tomorrow is such an easy thing to say that I think it's more likely that it's just made up than it is true.
You know, I found the article that Janice is talking about. I mean, it says it right there in the subheader. It says it's an opinion by Jason Rantz. That should be a clue to you. If you're reading an opinion piece from Fox News, understand it is this person's job to get up every day and write pink slime like this to frighten little old ladies.
Yep,
and to get them to vote the way that the people who fund this project want them to vote.
And not that Janice is old. She might be little. I've never met her.
We don't know. But you got to know what you're reading. If this sort of stuff spins your bow tie, you know what, you want to read this stuff, go nuts. But understand that it is tripe. It's like the opinion that you and I share on the air every day. Except it is not our job to get up and go to bat for one side or the other.
That's right.
We do not have a mandate like that on this program. Jason Rantz, who writes opinion columns for Fox News, loses his job if he doesn't write material like this.
That's right. That's right.
Just a thing to keep in mind.
You know, I love that we can talk about this here. Now, look, it's an opinion. I mean, is it impossible? No. But I don't think it's probable. But since I say it's possible, then if it turns out that we learn that that did happen, we will totally denounce George Soros for doing that. If indeed that's what he's doing, we'll denounce him for doing that. But until we know, I'm not going to lay blame there. All right. If you're on hold, stay with us. If you've got a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, it's Friday the 13th. Are you superstitious? I want you to listen to the singer in this Jeff Beck song. Listen to the singer. Before he was a solo artist, Rod Stewart was a singer for Jeff Beck. It's Rod Stewart. I ain't superstitious. All right, you know, let's have a little fun with this. Are you superstitious about anything? Is there anything that you do in the course of your daily life that indicates that you're superstitious? I mean, with your car keys, with the way you get dressed, with how you leave the house. I mean, is there any routine or pattern that is really more about being superstitious, that you honestly believe that if you don't do it this way, something bad's going to happen? If you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. Tomorrow is Flag Day. Let's not forget that the American flag stands for everybody, not just the right-wing radicals that put them on their pickup trucks and their Jeeps. They are no more American than you or me. In fact, in some cases, people who don't really understand our freedoms and don't really understand the spirit of America are less American than many of us. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this free-for-all Friday afternoon. Kind of a cloudy, rainy Friday afternoon. It's not raining in downtown New Orleans. I'm looking forward to the NBA game tonight, Oklahoma City and the Pacers in Indianapolis. For some reason, I just don't like the Pacers. I hope OKC wins. OKC's a young team. And, man, when they want to play defense, they can play defense. The Pacers lead 2-1. The game is in Indy. It would be awesome, in my opinion, if Oklahoma City evens it up tonight, but I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, so I'd love to hear from you if there is anything that you do in your life that borders on being superstitious. You have a routine, but it's more than a routine. It's something you feel like you have to do. You have to do it this way every day. And somewhere in your subconscious is the idea that if you don't do it this way, something's not going to work out. You know, that's borderline OCD. And in my life, I had so many rituals, especially when I was really young, and they really robbed me of my life. I mean, it was horrible. You know, people who don't have obsessive compulsive disorder do not know the silent torture that goes on in your brain when you do suffer from that. It's a horrible life. I mean, I hated much of my life. And thank God it's under control now, but it's something that I have to think about and kind of deal with every day. But I'm free of the problems that existed in the past. But on a lighthearted note, is there some routine? Is there some superstition? And we're talking about this because it's Friday the 13th. Is there some superstition that you have? And, you know, football players, basketball players, professional athletes have these superstitions, things that they do. And I find it interesting that they do the same thing before every game, even if they lost the last game. I mean, you think that if you do a routine because you think you have to do that to win the game and you lose the game, you think you change your tradition. But they still seem to have the same traditions, the same routines. I don't understand that. But anyway, I'd love to hear from you, call or text. I'd love to hear from you if there's some little thing that you do that you feel like you subconsciously have to do that every day that way, or it's not going to be a good day. The Oakwood Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Our friend James joins us from the North Shore. James, good afternoon.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on, Scoot.
Sure.
First, I'd like to thank the legislators up in Baton Rouge for continuing the tax and not letting it expire. I've been calling y'all for the past couple of years talking about that. I believe that was so important to continue that tax. We're a poor state. We need that money, especially now with FEMA trying to step out on us with Trump. We're going to need those extra dollars. We need that rainy day fund. So I'm so thankful they could see past all the rhetoric and keep this tax in line. I hope this actually steps over to Medicaid. I hope the senators are listening right now and congressmen. Please hear me when I say, I understand y'all was talking about fraud and abuse and waste. I get all that. But this is, look, when you start making it where people who got to go get a job to get Medicaid, but then you're going to bill them on top of that, then you're not going to have any money for rent and other things. Please think about that before you pass this. It's all tax money. The riches are doing everything they can to get out paying taxes, but we're sitting here paying taxes, and we like health care with our taxes. Now on to the protest. I've been basically out there since Duke protesting. I said back then it wasn't protesting, it was pushing back. We were pushing back in the bars. We were pushing back on the streets. I remember one time David Duke being at Dino's Rockbox in Fat City, and we kind of let him know that we didn't appreciate him out there, really kind of picking up on the women, being kind of a sleazebag and all that. So he got the point. He got the and left, so... You know, for a long time, and it's never been violence. In all the years, I've been to the Occupy protest.
Yeah.
I was at the George Floyd protest. Now, I wasn't up there on the bridge that night. I wasn't out there. Whatever happened that night, it was a different night. I wasn't out there. But out of all the protests I've ever been to, there's never been no violence. We don't come out there with violence. And I would like to suggest to people going to the protest tomorrow, look, they always ask, like, what are y'all getting out of this? What's happening? Y'all just going and sitting around. What are you doing? What we can get out of this is we can look for the people at the protest to speak up who could be our next leaders. We need a congressman. Someone needs to step up and run against Steve Scalise. Man, this is insane what he's doing. He's voting against us. Why don't we, you know, let's see who's out there, who we hear from, and let's make it a point to try and get people to run. Let's get people to say, look, we will back you. This show will back you. We will back you. well, I donate money to, there's a lot of good Democrat and moderate, not just Democrat, moderate, Republican people who are running against this administration, who's already getting their plans out there for 2026. So we can start donating to them and getting that going and stuff. So that's mainly, and I want to say one more thing about the violence.
Okay.
So when you think about when they say, well, it's all this leftist violence and all that, it makes me think of the King Sofa, the grocery store up in New York, the Walmart in El Paso, and the church in South Carolina. Well, it wasn't a whole protest of people. It was one single guy with a gun going out and killing mass people under the name of far-rightness.
Yep.
And I want people to be careful tomorrow. I ask Monica, because I'm going to the one in Covington. She's going to the one over in New Orleans. I said, man, please, look, keep your eyes around you, because you never know who might just want to come out and make a point like they made in New Mary. So everyone kind of still be aware of your surroundings. Be safe. We love you all. Thanks for having me on Scoot. Love
all
you.
All right, James.
Much love. Take care.
All right, and what James is really saying is that, you know, if you have a voice, if you have an opinion, don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid to speak out. All right, on the Scoot on the Air calendar on this day in 1995, an album that helped define the 90s. Jagged Little Pill, Alanis Morissette, released on this day in 1995. On the Scoot on the Air calendar on this day in 1975, Peter Frampton played the first of two nights at San Francisco's Winterland Ballroom. Those two shows were used to create the double live album, Frampton Comes Alive. Frampton had had a few solo hits. He was with Humble Pie, and then he left Humble Pie for a solo career. Nothing in his career was really going anywhere until Frampton Comes Alive hit. And I remember being on the air in 1975, and I remember when this album came in, and I started playing it. And, yeah, it was quite a phenomenon. And apparently they actually did enhance the crowd sound to just make him seem bigger than he actually was, but it really did work, and Peter Frampton became quite a phenomenon. All right, we have a lot more still to talk about, and we need to talk about more about Father's Day. We'll get to that in the next hour. What did your dad teach you that you still remember today? I'm Scoot on the Air, and we will be back. It's Free for All Friday on WWL.